The Toronto Summer Music Festival gets underway very shortly. July 9th is opening day. It's a wonderful chance to enjoy classical music in the heart of summertime. And this year will be the final season for artistic director Jonathan Crowe, the violinist and concertmaster with Your TSO, who has made this event sparkle over the last decade. The festival takes place at a variety of venues in the GTA. TorontoSummerMusic.com for tickets and concert schedule info. One of the featured stagings is Missing, which is a powerful opera that is meant to give voice to the voiceless. The Chamber Orchestra presentation is an exploration into the story that every Canadian should be aware of and remember, missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Missing was created by Métis playwright Marie Clements and Juno Award-winning composer Brian Current. The 80-minute production follows an Indigenous woman who disappears and the lawyer who is forever altered by their connection. It's set along British Columbia's Highway of Tears in Vancouver's East Side. It will be performed Thursday, July 24th at beautiful Kerner Hall. Joining us with more, it is mezzo-soprano Marion Newman. She's been key during all the iterations of this opera, including the workshop that led to its musical composition, and conductor Tim Long. He's been the artistic and music director of Eastman Opera and assistant conductor of the Metropolitan Opera in New York. He's conducted all iterations of Missing. Marion, Tim, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us about working with Toronto Summer Music on this. Why is this part of the repertoire that Jonathan Crowe programmed this year? What do you think compelled him?
I could start.
Sure.
I worked with Jonathan and his quartet a number of times on a set of songs that are about Indigenous experience, about the history, why our relationship is where it is now. And I think that he really was touched by the things that he learned from engaging in that music. Words were by Marilyn Dumont, a Cree Métis poet from the middle of Canada. And I think that that led to him really wanting to tell part of that story at his festival. And we did perform those songs a couple of years ago, but I think at that time he started thinking, is there something else I could bring that would engage audiences in a new way?
So take us through the story that's actually on stage at Kerner Hall next month. What is the story of these characters?
So we open with a young woman who's just had a car crash, and she is a white girl. Her name is Ava. And when she's in that in-between world of between death and life, she encounters a spirit who is one of the missing, and they kind of merge. And she moves on through her experiences in life with this different understanding because she's got this spirit whispering at her and living with her. And she's never really engaged in the question of murdered and missing Indigenous women and relatives ever before. And so this is new to her. It's new to her friends. Throughout, we also see the family of the missing woman mourning for her, just how incredibly their lives have changed because they're missing her and they don't know where she is. And the character that I play is that of Dr. Wilson, a university professor and lawyer who goes around lecturing on the subject of murdered and missing Indigenous women. And she's simply asking the question, what do you see when you see me? Anyone? Do you recognize me? And through that engagement, she ends up having a sort of an argument on stage with one of white girl Ava's friends named Jess, who is confronting her because Jess has preconceived notions and she thinks that Indigenous people are getting a free ride. And she confronts Dr. Wilson and they end up having this very public confrontation in front of everyone. And it really serves to show that Canadians who don't have that education might believe things that they don't realize and that they might not be seeing Indigenous people, Indigenous women on an equal par. And so it just grapples with the kinds of conversations that I've had as an Indigenous person. And the hope is that we can affect people into caring and into finding ways that they can notice, join us in our wish to make this problem go away.
Let's talk about the music. Tim, tell us about Brian Current's compositions here and how you're delivering the music to tell this story and how you're approaching it.
Well, first of all, I love the score. And Brian was so incredibly thoughtful in the way this was formed with Marie Clements, who's a Dene Métis, who's the genius librettist. And Brian worked very closely with her. He worked very closely with Gitxon speakers so that he could be respectful of the language and the story and the people. And his writing in this, I call it a polytonal. There is a lot of tonality in it. I would call it post-minimalist as well. And I look at minimalism equating that with pop music and things with a groove. So you can feel a groove in this. You can get into it. I think it's extraordinary what he did with time, that there's a very structured time until you get to the native girl first speaking. And although we stay in a meter, he removes the audible sense of time. So it's almost like we go into another world, especially when she's speaking the Gitxon language. We have a virtuoso ensemble of seven instrumentalists. And I tell you, these parts are very, very difficult, but the Continuum ensemble is just tremendous, and they were on our recording and made this so easy. So we're really, really looking forward to doing this in Toronto and bringing it all together for you guys.
If you're just joining us, the Toronto Summer Music Festival will present the opera Missing at Kerner Hall Thursday, July 24th, and tickets and info at torontosummermusic.com. Mezzo-soprano Marion Newman is with us, conductor Tim Long, just talking about that fascinating Continuum ensemble. And Tim, I mean, wonderful chamber group, great group of names. And I think the instrumentation reflects what you're talking about, right? That rhythmic element and the timing element.
Oh, yes. You know, we have a violin, a cello, a flutist who plays bass flute and piccolo. We have clarinetist who plays a contrabass clarinet and bass clarinet. So those are our four main instrumentalists. Then we have a pianist, in addition to two virtuoso percussionists who have to play very advanced mallet percussion parts that are at the extreme of what one can do. So my tempi have to be very considerate of that. So I can't go faster than what a human can do, because, you know, flapping a baton is something else.
What have you gleaned? What has sort of compounded as you've continued to perform this show? I mean, it just sounds like you're so committed to it and its story. What's happening to you as artists as you continue to perform it?
Oh my gosh. I have really been affected by playing Dr. Wilson. I would say that I was quite a shy person. I mean, I still am essentially, but I never had the words to express how I felt. And it's partly why music has been such a good language for me. But playing Dr. Wilson, who was not afraid of confrontation and who can do it with care and love, even though it might sound prickly at times, there's a strength to her character that I really admired and that I kind of took on parts of in myself. She's given me a lot of courage and an ability to just say what I'm thinking while also caring about how I am saying something to someone, keeping in mind that my words might strike them in a certain way and that there's a responsibility in that. I've become less afraid of just having these difficult conversations about Indigenous life and death and history and truth that we all deserve to be grappling with. Nobody needs to be kept in the dark.
That is a powerful outcome. Tim?
Well, like for Marion, it was a really big shift for me because I am in my late 50s now, although I look very youthful. Coming up in this society and in this business, I've had to kind of divide myself from what I'm doing. They didn't blend in any way for decades, and no one really cared about that, and I didn't think of it a whole lot because that's just how society was. And when we did Missing, and we've done this with every production, we do a private performance for victims' families. And those were some of the most powerful events I've ever been to, because these people have never been to an opera, much less heard contemporary music. And there's never a mention of that fact because the story is so powerful and connects with them so much. You hear crying begin in the first minute. That does not end until well after the production is finished. And that's largely because these people who look like my family, who look like my tribe in Oklahoma, have never had anyone speaking up for them in public this way. And they're so appreciative. You can tell that it also is a catharsis for them to be able to express this in public. And you know, when this happened and we had talkbacks, I realized it could so easily be me, except it made me realize that through whatever circumstances, I have a life of privilege now. And as an Indigenous person with a life of privilege, it's my duty to speak up for these people who have no voice. So it has become my charge to have people think of Indigenous people, Native Americans, First Nations, Métis, Inuits, whenever they see me. And I carry that with me through my work, even when it is non-Indigenous work.
That is a powerful tale told by both of you, and I think that's going to resonate on stage, and so people should see what is happening at Kerner Hall, Thursday, July 24, 7:30 p.m., Missing in Concert, the operatic presentation. TorontoSummerMusic.com is the website, and it's been mezzo-soprano Marion Newman and conductor Tim Long who've been our guides here this afternoon. Thank you to both of you.
Thank
Anna
you.
Kessler.
You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture.